And maybe letting the body kind of open up to the ground or to itself, and giving a few more minutes, now that we've been here a while, that the body could really have a chance to enjoy being here a little bit more. Maybe shifting the posture from the inside of the body moving itself like a cat. Or a tree. Or a little bit, at least, of yourself, if it would so happen one morning you woke up but you didn't have to get up. Some things got canceled and you found yourself with a few hours. So that body. So partly letting the body, that there can be a melting. The hands, the back, the face, the tongue, the brain. And also there can be curiosity. Usually we think that either we melt or we're curious. One or the other. But maybe there's a kind of suggestion that the body could melt, could be heavy, could have some more space. Could rest down and back. And that the melting down and back leaves some space for life. And so there may have been today, and maybe even the last couple of days, a kind of big energy coming into a retreat. Sometimes there's some intensity that can be translated as anxiety or nervousness or resistance or whatever, but maybe just big energy. Available. So the possibility that even if there's tension in the body, an edge in the mind or the emotion, that also there could be melting anyway. Some heaviness allowed to be heavy. And big energy allowed to be big. And sometimes remembering the feeling of resting back, or feeling the back of the body, or the lower belly, or the ground. Just remembering that we're allowed to feel the back, or the feet, or the belly. Just helps there be more room for melting and interest, melting and big energy. release and aliveness. Which is rest. Rest is not only letting go, release, quietening, it's also being filled with life. And so we can kind of also practice erasing that expectation that rest is only about quieting, only about going down, letting go. And so whatever is happening, even if it's not feeling restful, the fact that there's room for that and the fact that it is happening, and there's body and back and ground, body and space for everything, every single thing. Every single thing, there's room. There's body and space that's restful. There's ground and living. Things are happening all the time. There's the back of the body, and there's the control freak. And there's the breath, and there's sounds. Cells alive. By themselves and ground. And so feeling for each for ourselves, what has been the habit? Where do we keep tending to fall? Or stretch, or try too much, or pretend, or whatever. And so then, what might we need to remember more often? Like, oh yeah, I have a back. Or I can feel my feet, even though my mind is exploding. There's room for the mind exploding. And there's also ground, feet, belly, back of the body, life continuing, living. And now maybe just giving a little time, anyone who wishes, just to feel and be inside the feet for a while. not exclusive, not saying nothing else is happening, but being inside the feet as if our ears and our brain and our heart were there. Here. So here becomes feet for a while, if you wish. Being inside the feet, then the head, for example, is way up there, way over there. And being inside the feet, there's still breath and sound and ground and so on. There's still space. And we can notice maybe warmth, coolness, pressure, texture. The feet themselves can notice themselves. The feet can notice texture. The feet can notice almost electric feeling between the toes, maybe. The feet can feel their own volume and how the skin in different parts has different quality. And just staying for a while. And gradually being inside our feet as a home. Feeling maybe a strong pull to come out of the feet, back to the head, to check on the feet. And then realizing we can stay in the feet. Can allow room for the pull away and we can still stay. Just for a while, if you wish. Staying longer than just, oh, I'll go get a taste of the feet and then I'll come back. We're just staying for a while. Longer than is maybe habit or program or comfortable even. A little longer. Until gradually it might happen that our memory of what we think the feet look like is clearly another kind of animal, and the experience, lived experience, is something else. It's a stream, direct. Really staying in the stream of warm, cool, texture, pressure, movement, etc. Continually noticing more and more. Maybe we can feel a pulse here and there in more than one place. Maybe we get interested in somehow, it's interesting to be in the arch of the foot, for example, or in the press of the toes towards the ground, even if they're in the air. We could almost call it the intelligence of feet. Really directly in the stream just now, whatever it is, doesn't leave so much room for the picture in the mind, the word in the mind, the memory of and just to lean into that flash of warmth, that sense of volume, flash of coolness, a flash of feeling, maybe a pressure or tension along a bone or tendon, connective tissue. So much in the world that we call feet or foot. Maybe 2 feet starts to be too much and 1 foot is enough. And even when our ability to pay attention starts to be really bored, the living foot continues, and the so much experiencing, perception, warm, cool, heavy, light, texture, movement, etc., continues and can be felt even when my attention paying part is bored. We can notice around the edges where we can still be receiving foot, what we call foot. So directly. Why not? And we can play with being interested in staying right on the edge of the direct experience. Which is so quick, so fast, just only right in such a small now. Uncontrolled. Simple, alive. We can play with then relaxing at that edge. Sometimes it feels like we really need to kind of lean in, lean towards now, away from all the habit energies of thinking about what it was. And just gradually leaving room for kind of an awakening of liking the freshness. Even if we want to also cover it up with words and pictures and memories, something maybe likes that really direct, fresh. Before I can think about it, it happened already. And just leaving room for liking or the possibility of liking the freshness, the directness. Even though it's so alive, maybe we can relax a bit more and let it be alive. Maybe we don't need to add anything. It's already doing itself. And our feeling capacity also is already doing itself. This feeling of the foot has already happened. Before I can say anything about it. And so if you wish staying with the feet, or if you wish to play with bringing that same staying quality, same kind of present staying quality, somewhere else in the body that feels more easy or juicy for you, more ease, could be interesting in the lower belly, maybe even the pelvic floor for some of us, the very bottom of the main body, or in the back. Of course, chest or hands are also here. but just with your intuition or best guess, where might be possible to feel good staying with that staying quality. Even though the thinking is leaving every second, something could stay anyway. The mind keeps thinking about other things. Of course. It's been trained to do that. We let it do that. Meanwhile, staying. And so whatever your best guess is by now, it's not a big big decision that you could get wrong or right. So just somewhere in the body, if it's possible to feel the body. Allowing your feeling capacity to feel. Soft, hard, heavy, light, hot, cold, texture, movement, etc. There's so much. And just the simple acknowledgement that there's so much can be helpful so we're not confused. Because there might not be anything that's that easy to notice, but there's so much of it. That's all. There's just a lot of experiences that are not so easy to feel, maybe. We might feel, depending where we are, some movement that goes with the breath, rhythm. We might feel some heaviness or pressure or lightness or pull. We might feel even more subtle feelings like a feeling home-ness or alive-ness or okay-ness. Or bzz-ness. There might be a feeling of wrongness or blankness that just can be felt. And if maybe for a short while there could be a sense of openness to sounds inside the body, outside the body, inside the room, outside the room. Partly just to kind of question how big a human being is. Our realm of experience is at least as big as sound. Our sensitivity goes at least that far. And then maybe as if we're receiving sound in our kind of chosen place in the body, whether feet or back or belly or wherever. Relaxing as much as possible. Letting sound come, letting sound go. Gradually letting it kind of dawn, so gradually we notice that hearing happens by itself. It's easier to notice with the quick sounds that come and go noticeably. That our own hearing has heard the sound before we can think what that sound might be. before I can do anything, something in me already heard a sound. Something let it come and go. Something in us is even more quick than thought, more ready than I. And the more we can feel a kind of looseness to let our own readiness, our ability to hear, just be itself and do itself. But what gives a staying possibility? Staying here and letting hearing happen, letting feeling happen. So great looseness. And a small discovery of staying. The possibility to stay or come back. We can play with where there could be more looseness that gives more staying. And along the way, gradually just knowing and feeling the difference between when I'm caught up in alarm system and thinking, reaction, judging, mode, and how that feels in the body. And then here again, there's feet. Hear our feet or belly and sound, life. Ground and openness. Going on anyway. Sometimes it's so helpful to ride inside the breath. Sometimes we can feel the breath in our chosen place, or sometimes that's two things together. Feeling free to find what's helpful for you just now. What's helpful will often give a feeling of joy. So it's not that thing of out of panic that my mind is going crazy, what can I shut it down with? But of course the mind goes crazy sometimes. Of course, the body wants to move sometimes. It's our training, our habit, programming. And maybe, anyway, living would like so much just staying with belly, hearing sounds in their river. feeling body sensation in their stream. So here, so gone. By itself. And how that resonates and gives us also permission to be a flow here and gone. To be completely so here, so much ourselves, discovering what that is as it streams through now. So maybe from no matter what, maybe there's okayness, and from there, feeling what's joyful, where's ease, where's a looseness that then allows a staying, that's not an escape, a looseness that's not an escape. So let the mind be busy, sure, and still there's the lower back breathing or whatever. We can again have a few minutes break if anyone needs the bathroom. Thank you. anyone have a question or anything to share so far? Did you hear? It's how, if I have any recommendations about meditating with flies, literal flies. Yeah. So people who are under the fans didn't realize there were flies. So that's one option is coming. For 9 years, I've been living in a place in Spain in the countryside where the main problem was flies. And it's a meditation place, so. Mostly we give people head nets and suggest to bring a nice, that's like a thin cloth, maybe bigger than this. Sorry. And then it can also be like this. And sometimes they'll get in. And then you have the chance of dealing, which is a good subject. Like, it's good when a general solution, like, okay, cover your skin, wouldn't be always 100% effective at blocking out. It's good that life is. So then with flies, it's wonderful because mostly it's not like they're going to hurt us. And it doesn't actually hurt usually when they land, but it does draw the attention. So sometimes the chance to let your attention go there and follow that lover's touch and feel the part of the mind that's got the image of the fly and the part of the skin that's got the feeling of the touch of the actual creature and feel how strong the reaction to get it away is and how pleasant it is sometimes at the same time. Flies are really interesting. At the same time, you know, okay, if they come to your lips or your nose, maybe it's a good time to move. Could you hear? Anyone else? Anything else? One of the great things about this retreat is being in this building here. So, and so many things about it. So one is we're not in a city, and we're also not, I don't know, in a beach house or something with screen doors and air conditioning, and there's life available. And then this place having been built by hand with love and skill, because we could build with love and it could not last long. But to be built with love and skill. together as a couple families coming together and making this place. Making this place for us, for practice, not just making a place to then rent out to other people, or making a place even for a library. It would be a different feeling. There could be lots of good reasons to build a building, but this building was built for us. And that's already different. So thank you. And even though from the beginning there was some talk in between children, excuse me, what? But yeah, like, oh, maybe when you come to Israel someday, we could do something here. And kind of thinking, of course, and also, of course not. It seemed like definitely it would happen, and also definitely there was no way it could happen. And so the feeling of a feeling of completion and beginning at the same time, which is maybe some of the wedding bride hostess feeling that we could all get into that mood, which is a life mood. It's the mood of life. There's this continual completion beginning all the time. And somewhere we wish it would be less wobbly. Like, what would be wobbly? Hebrew wobbly. Less shifty.
Not dead. Wobbly means not dead.
Mit, no dead. So we wish it wouldn't be so. Mit, no dead. And then we try to find somewhere a feeling either of completion, like the end. The end of all this wobbling. Or something new, like, okay, after all that wobbling, come on, let's really start. And it sounds sensible to look for a completion or a new, fresh start. It sounds so sensible. It sounds so something we could really get behind, and everyone would agree, yeah. You just need completion. Or you just need to start fresh. And it never is exactly. The freshest start is a completest complete. And a completest complete is a freshest start. And what we can do more is let it be that intense. Every moment is that intense. And that wobbly. So if we could kind of suspect, what would be suspect?
Lachshod. Lachshod.
When we feel like we want to kind of end something, or we want to start something, if we could suspect ourselves a little bit, like, what's really going on? What are we trying to escape? Or what does this escaping feel like? And what does catching myself escaping feel like? Because if there can be kindness, better. Kindness with the wobbly-ness, the mit-no-dead-ness, because it is. It's not your fault or anyone's fault. And kindness that, of course, we want to escape that. Of course it's scary. Especially when we've been taught, like, somehow we should have it together. It should be complete. And we should have begun at some point. Not that it keeps on beginning and ending. Because we've been taught different from what is, we're confused. And then we look for blame, me or you or somebody. And that it doesn't fit into the those boxes is really, it really is a celebration. It is a celebration, and it's worth celebrating. Which means it's worth finding a way, which can take a lot of practice, to find a way to get into the groove. What would we get into the groove? The music starts and you warm up, and then you start, well, not quite dancing, but then after a while you forget that you're trying to dance because you're dancing. Or any other thing that you kind of warm up and you kind of don't quite, and then when you forget that you were trying to, you are. So getting into the groove of life as it is, wobbling, ending, beginning. And when we notice that we're kind of against, we're up against life, or life seems against us, then it might just be a matter of letting life be that big and that wobbly, that intense. And then my own assumptions about how it should go or shouldn't go that are causing the friction can drop out. The closed mind that's kind of scraping against all of this movement can open. And then it's not like, okay, and then that's all. But then if something needs to be done, it's very clear, both that it needs to be done and what right now, if anything, do I do? Not even can I do, but I just do. Even if I can't, I couldn't do it yesterday, but now it needs to be done and I'm here and I just do it. And what's for tomorrow, I don't do today. So, because the mind will get cramped. If we look seriously at life and we see all that needs to be done eventually, then it doesn't fit in the day. It doesn't fit in the heart when we think about it that way. So feeling the big heart that has enough room for that big picture that allows me to do what needs to be done, and especially most hard to practice is not do what can't be done today. And so one of the things on the retreat in the teaching role is there's a lot that can't be done, that needs to not be done from our side. There's a lot that we need to not say. There's a lot of room for silence. And there's a lot of, from our side, an intention towards leaving room for you, for yourself, you and yourself. What is that? And what gets discovered? What do you discover, you and yourself? With the help of being together. So somehow being together in this way, we hope, it's not 100% helpful, but we hope it's more helpful. Each time we hope it's more helpful. That you notice yourself escape, you feel how that feels, you feel what's the escape from. And then what else? If I'm not involved in escaping, not only what was I escaping from, that would just be so dreadful and deadly. If we think meditation is only that, finding myself escaping from what I don't want to actually meet, and that's all, that's deadly. But there's also the occupation of escaping from what I don't want to meet. That also keeps me from contact with what else? With all. So it's this kind of really sneaky escape. By being involved in escaping and trying to make myself come back, I can just avoid living completely the whole time until it's over. And so just the subject of staying and the capacity, human capacity of staying. It looks like there's no human capacity for staying. Well, at first look, at first feel, when we first try to be here and we see how not here, it looks like, and it's important to acknowledge how not staying goes on, how going away happens. But then room for a discovery that though this mind that I think is so important is going away all the time, something else notices that the mind is going away all the time, which is interesting by itself. And then also, meanwhile, something else is not going anywhere. For example, the body. And it's not a small thing that the body could stay for 45 minutes. And the body doesn't really mind that much. The mind has gone to 55 countries of Africa. For such good reasons. So in a way, we're almost feeling and looking and searching for something unreasonable. It's not looking for any reason to justify. It just is. And so we can play with what is it like even before starting a meditation or before starting some days in silence. The idea of staying, we haven't stayed yet. The idea of staying. What does that do to us? Like we start negotiations. So for example, okay, I'll go on the retreat if. Or I'll go on the retreat because. Or I'll go into this meditation if. Or for some reason I'm going to go in that meditation. I'll go in basically disguised as a meditator. I'll go in and I'll pretend to want to meditate. Or I'll pretend to want to stay. So we're so used to twisting ourselves in order to get ourselves to do something that we think we should do. And here I hope it's not so hard to feel where somewhere in you you want to be here. But just notice how quickly the twist is there. And we buy into it. We go with the twist rather than actually I actually want to be here. In fact, I really don't really, really want to be anywhere else. Even if anywhere else, there's so many good anywhere else's with so many good reasons to be there. But something kind of maybe a bit, we could call it like an animal-like sense or quality or presence that actually wouldn't be anywhere else. Even though you have so much to do on the computer, And certain family members really think you're insane for being here or whatever. And so just the possibility that it's valid, what's valid in Hebrew?
Takif.
Takif. It maybe could be valid. Takif. Takif?
Takif.
Takif. To really fully do something for no reason. If we just notice everything that we do, that we have a reason to do it, we could so easily have a reason to not do it. And some days we have that reason. And maybe we're actually doing it not so much for that reason or for that not. Maybe there's a whole realm of living that's going on that doesn't have that much to do with our reasoning. And what happens when we just allow that we could do something for no reason? In this case, we could do almost nothing for no reason. Or we don't know why. If we can feel we're willing to do something and we don't know why. And how does that feel in the body? How does it feel in the mind, and how does it feel in the brain? I know I don't know why. How does that feel compared to, I'm on this retreat because, for the best reasons, but I'm on this retreat because I want to learn how to be quiet, or I need to rest. These are great reasons, but what if I'm just here and I actually don't know why? Just how does it feel as an experiment? And how does it feel if I'm here because I need to rest? I'm not saying you don't need to rest, and I hope you do. You might not, though. It doesn't say anywhere guaranteed 24 hours sleep retreat. It doesn't even say guaranteed 4 hours sleep retreat. And some people have done deep rest retreat and not slept for 7 days, like the 3 weeks before, or whatever. And they found a place of deep rest that wasn't about sleeping. And I hope that's none of our case. But if it is, it's not actually that fundamental problem. Does it feel more unencumbered, unbound?
Lo machbid.
Could you hear? No mach.
Lo machbid.
So it's a matter of whether like experimentation or trust. If there's some trust, then it's less a feeling of experimenting. It is still experimenting. But if there's not trust, which usually nowadays we don't have trust, so it's more like courage, ready to experiment, why not gamble? But if we practice unbinding from a reason to be here, or a logic, or reasoning, which will find its place. It will find its place. Reason and logic will find its place. But if that's not actually the main thing, maybe. If we don't have to use force to get ourselves to be with ourselves. That's what I'm saying. Since we actually are with ourselves somehow, and since we don't know ourselves somehow, it could be like a good way for a few days. And I'd like to suggest that this quality of staying might be a really simple help. But again, that it doesn't, I don't think we need to twist ourselves to make ourselves stay. Sometimes it might be worthwhile if the addictive quality of getting out of here, getting away from myself, getting away from life, getting away from the intensity, the chaos, my own reaction to all of that. It could be then we might want to like very firmly embrace ourselves here with all of our force. Not the reaction. It's just a reaction. It's a natural reaction of an addict, which we all are. But sometimes just to try, like maybe there's a really innocent place inside that's okay with it all as it is, which is intense. We're not trying to say innocent equals no intensity, but an innocence that is right with the intensity of life. And maybe we notice letting innocence with intensity have some time together. Then our interest in all the drama is just way, way, way less. Way less. And so then this through a kind of uncomplicated staying, which usually is more like coming back to, and then that means finding what could I come back to that's not unnecessary, that's not extra. So usually, commonly, we start with body. Sometimes, for different reasons, someone maybe can't feel their body very much, and so it's not a great place to come back to. In that case, you might feel more, okay, your deep heart knows what. And even that question might be something that you just come back to. Not necessarily ever coming to the complete answer, but completion and beginning. Something fresh and something that really can take in the whole. A wholeness and freshness that is in tune with all the movement, shifting. What was it again? The wobbly thing?
Mitnoded. Say it again. Mitnoded.
Mitnoded. And so it sounds like not much of a difference. But if we're not trying to stop living from happening, we're not trying to stop the breath, for example. We're not actually trying to stop the brain. We're not trying to stop something. We're not trying to kill life. But we might notice that mostly our way of living is not very alive. And so not trying to stop something is a different mood. So we're getting into a flow as a flow. We're not a stopper, stopping something that moves until it stops. So from our deepest place, feeling those movements, reactions, habit energies, programming. That wants to stop something, that wants to stop life. And with this like utter understanding that trying to stop life is just it's because it's so hard and painful sometimes to be in the intensity of life. So naturally it goes out to blame, it goes out to aggression, trying to stop it. But a gathering in that's not a stopping, like actually getting so into the juiciness and intensity of all of this flow that we get more and more into it. And we start to notice that from there's kind of intelligence that is way beyond our own. It's so cool. And then the mood or the feeling is how I feel in this room. There's a like really feeling humbly I guess lucky to get to be part of that. Even though it could be otherwise. It could be that they said, no, it's crazy to build a yoga studio while we're also, I won't even tell you all the the reasons not to build this. Or the reasons not to have this retreat. I don't know how long it's been since such a spontaneous retreat was possible. Things were getting more and more like retreat centers that as meditation gets more popular, the retreat centers get more and more so-called professional. And then the deposit is required a year in advance kind of thing. And if you're not going to pay it, someone else is. So if you want a place for the retreat next year, you have to know now. So things were getting more and more like that. And then everything changed. And there's room and sort of daring out of love to feel an invitation from Odelia's side to feel a yes, even though actually I think I said I feel a yes, but it's impossible because at that time when she first said it, it was impossible. And to know that the yes in Odelia is a family yes, it's not just one person. Like it or not, I'm inviting Jaya, you know, like the whole family has to be with it. And the same with Efrat's family, like, okay, if we're going to actually get that thing ready for a retreat, we're going to sweat and we're going to get scratched and we're... And also my family, where it was impossible that it became possible. Weirdly, and it within days, it was very weird. It was really impossible. And then things dissolved and yeah. Does anyone have something to share or ask or add? For lunch.
Not coming back to the body, but I feel I went somewhere else. It really helps me to move. And to move just intuitively is how to feel that present in my body again. Mm. And I'm not sure if you have said it specifically, but it's welcome.
Yeah, okay.
Sitting very no movement, no flies, no.
Yeah. Okay. It's great that you asked that. It's great. So, it's a real, people, we say this phrase sometimes, the invitation is, as a kind of, I don't know, trying not to sound forceful and being forceful, but it's actually this, there's really this very deep invitation into stillness, which happens to be also a really deep invitation into movement. But what the intention for the hall is stillness, except for the yoga class. So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because we haven't said it. And it isn't obvious, especially when you've come here to practice yoga, many of you, including movement in between asanas and so on. There's this beautiful land of stillness that we don't know much. And so this is that ship that goes there. It's that iceberg that takes us there. And having a place that we know that our intention, except during the yoga class, is stillness. And so we know if someone is in really a lot of pain and their whole thing is about the pain, and they just, of course, please move. Just quietly. Before you're like, ugh! You know. Just, you can silently move so that your whole meditation is not about pain, if possible. It's not, everyone doesn't have that option. Sometimes pain doesn't go away by moving. And then the walking meditation is there, and there's break times, and there's not that other yoga studio over there yet where you could go for the movement practice whenever you want. But there is a real invitation also to you and everyone, even if it hasn't been your way so far. Because we can also escape in stillness. Sometimes we haven't really quite gotten to the land of stillness that's just... like really, it brings so much. Just like silence, when I haven't actually really been in silence, and if I can give that to myself these days, no phone for 5 days, wow. No thank you, excuse me, please. That was really good, wasn't it? Oh, I hated that. None of that for 5 days. The breeze that can come through the body and mind of that person, like, goes way beyond that person. It's so worthwhile. So the stillness and the silence, but also meeting movement that way and the complementariness. So it's not stillness as, oh, at least I don't have to be a person on the planet right now. I can just kind of, we're not like coming into stillness to zip up, we're unzipping. What is this? And when movement is that, for you already, like, really, please do it, but not in the hall. So feel for your spot, which maybe is a tent, or maybe because it's the ground is still prickly. There's the wagon, enough for one person. Yeah. And what the two bring to each other, even if you're just doing walking, if you're doing walking and not sort of free movement or Tai Chi movements or something like that, also, so just briefly for now, the fact that there's nowhere to land physically, there's not that one posture that I can feel safe in, the body is moving, it keeps reminding me, like sounds do, about how now is not this stopping thing. There is something that can be now, and it doesn't need a confirmation of itself. So sometimes when I'm in stillness and it's a bit like, leave me alone, stillness. So movement, walking, and being still with sound can help us actually recover that part of us that's so quick and so alive. And so things can be as fluid as they are. The emotion is here and gone. The thought is here and gone. And it's not doesn't need to be disturbing. The disturbance that we feel is just another thing that's here and gone. We can really get into it. It's kind of many times the back body is so helpful for feeling that. Like, I just found a Rumi poem yesterday that said talks about the bowl. I said, the bowl is the shape of the soul. It's like the back body feeling of just faster than I could possibly ever do anything. We already heard the sound. It's already gone. Any sound. We already have the capacity. And so not to let stillness be a crusting, an encrustment. It's just that we can let go more and find that, that our sensitivity gets every ripple. And it doesn't need to be a problem. The problem feeling is another ripple. And then so movement is a fantastic combination.
There's an invitation to lie down whenever we feel we need to lie down because we're struggling with something.
For the meditation posture, I highly recommend lying down for the meditation posture. If you want to sit, feel free. Whatever feels more deep for you. Yeah.
You mentioned choosing a pose.
And it's good, that's okay. There's the full freedom to feel at the beginning of a meditation. If possible, let my body decide. Am I lying down and on my side, on my belly, on my back? Am I sitting? Am I leaning on the wall? Am I sitting in a chair? How am I sitting? Kneeling, cross-legged, with my legs not crossed but bent. What does the body want? What feels more deep as a posture? And then I need to really take into account, this feels deep now, but is my best guess on the cellular level, my cellular guess, that for 45 minutes, this is going to be really good, probably. Or this is going to be good for 5 minutes and it's going to really suck. So that's not your posture. Like, what's going to be good for 45 minutes, if possible? Yeah. And there's a couple posters on the board that show some options. If you're lying on your back, usually you would want some cushioning under, at least under your knees, if not also under the whole leg, so that that's higher than the main body. If you snore, you might want to lie face down or on your side. People will fall asleep. Great. You're tired. You can rest. But if you know you snore loudly like I do, then I will choose a posture accordingly. Anything else?